You can find the reading on page 119 in your pew Bibles. The reading is taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 3, beginning at the first verse. There was a Jewish leader named Nicodemus, who belonged to the party of the Pharisees. One night he went to Jesus and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher sent by God. No one could perform the miracles you are doing unless God were with him." Jesus answered, "I'm telling you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God without being born again." "How can a grown man be born again?" Nicodemus asked. "He certainly cannot enter his mother's womb and be born a second time." "I'm telling you the truth," replied Jesus. "No one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. A person is born physically of human parents, but is born spiritually of the Spirit. Do not be surprised because I tell you that you must all be born again. The wind blows wherever it wishes. You hear the sound it makes, but you do not know where it comes from or where it is going. It is like that with everyone who is born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" asked Nicodemus. Jesus answered, "You are a great teacher in Israel and you don't know this. I am telling you the truth. We speak of what we know and report what we have seen, yet none of you is willing to accept our message. You do not believe me when I tell you about the things of this world. How will you ever believe me then when I tell you about the things of heaven? And no one has ever gone up to heaven except the Son of Man, who came down from heaven. As Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the desert, in the same way the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not die, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to be its judge, but to be its Saviour. Those who believe in the Son are not judged, but those who do not believe have already been judged, because they have not believed in God's only Son. This is how the judgment works. The light has come into the world, but people love the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds are evil. All those who do evil things hate the light and will not come to the light because they do not want their evil deeds to be shown up. But those who do what is true come to the light in order that the light may show what they did was in obedience to God. This is the Gospel of Christ.
So we're going to spend some time now looking at John 3:16, and in particular, it works for today's theme of thinking about education, thinking about what we're doing. There's a wonderful prayer in the Book of Common Prayer that says about how we pray for all those who seek to involve in education, seeking to bring the light of knowledge to anyone in the world. And that's what we believe we're trying to do in the schools, that if we teach the truth, that truth will lead to God. That will lead to God if we're open to it. And that's why we're against all things that are untrue, are made up, are fictional, are manipulated. We want to hear the truth. And so today we're thinking about that, and we're thinking particularly about the verse contained in these verses, which most of you, I imagine, will be at least familiar with. And that is John chapter 3 and verse 16. "For God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not die, but have eternal life." It's probably the most well-known Bible verse. If you had to have one verse to memorize, this is the one I'd suggest. Because in it, it contains the basic message of Christianity. That God loves us, and that his love is seen when he sent Jesus. Not to condemn us, not to judge us, not to punish us, but to save us. So that we wouldn't die, but have eternal life. The reason, the action, and the results. The reason, God's love. The action, that he sent his son, and the results, so that we might have eternal life. But you see, this verse that you may well know is often pulled out of context. So today, I want to look at it in the context of John and chapter 3 and Jesus meeting Nicodemus. So as we look at it, let's pray together that God would speak and that you wouldn't hear my voice, but that we would hear what he is saying to his church today. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word, and we pray that as we open it, Lord, you would bring to life this book that has been here for 2 millennia. And Lord, we pray that we would understand it, not merely intellectually, but come to see it and to grasp it, and through it come to see the Lord Jesus and his light. Amen. So Nicodemus is a great teacher. He's a Jewish teacher. He knows his Bible, and he sees Jesus at work. It's evident. He sees Jesus doing things, and he goes up to him and he says, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher sent by God. No one could perform the miracles you were doing unless God were with him." So he says, we know this. Nicodemus is a teacher, and he's obviously been around. And I don't know if in the Gospels you've noticed how most of the time when Jesus is teaching his stories or doing his miracles, there are different people in the crowds watching. Some people are Pharisees, teachers of the law, people like Nicodemus, and others are tax collectors and sinners, all sorts of people with a past. And Nicodemus is one of these upright people who often become the baddie in the story. He's one of the Pharisees or teachers of the law. He's a Sadducee. They're not just sad, you see. They are the Sadducees. Do you know that song? No. Oh, we're going to do it. Brilliant. Oh, it's such a good song. I won't do it right now. Phil hates it. But if you want to panic Phil, just ask him to play Happy Birthday. Don't give him any warning. And he can play anything apart from that. This is a great song. Anyway, it says, "I don't want to be a Sadducee because they're just Sadducee. I don't want to be a Pharisee because they're not Pharisee. I just want to be a sheep. Ba, 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 ba." It's a brilliant song, and we're definitely going to sing it next time. Anyway, don't know where I was. Got completely lost. Nicodemus is one of those so-called kind of the people who end up being the bad guys, the Pharisee, the Sadducee, the teacher of the law. He knows his Bible. He's a religious type. And did you notice when he comes to see Jesus? You see, the assumption is that he's been watching, he's been there seeing Jesus. And yet when he comes to talk to Jesus, he doesn't come publicly. Do you notice that? In verse 2 it says, one night he went to Jesus and said to him, "Rabbi." You know, he sneaks up to him. You know, there's obviously this kind of, the religious establishment have got this kind of protection up. We don't like this new, rather radical preacher who seems to be gathering all the riffraff and scum. We're going to keep our distance. But Nicodemus is so gripped by this man and sees the things he does and says, "We know that you are sent by God, because no one could do that. No one could do the things that you do if they weren't from God." And what does Jesus say to this person who knows his Bible? Does he say, "Come on in, welcome, join the party"? He says this, "I'm telling you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God without being born again." It's not quite the welcome maybe he was hoping for. And the phrase "born again" now has some terrible connotations. Has anyone ever heard the phrase "born again" in a particularly good light? There was a Midsummer Murders episode recently, and as soon as you met the characters who were born again Christians, you knew that they'd done it. You actually didn't need to sit through the next hour and a half of nice pictures of the Cotswolds. You knew it was them already. And there is something of that, that immediately you know that, you know, there's something suspect about it. There's something a bit dodgy. Born again, well, we're the Church of England, thank you very much. Our new vicar might not wear his robe, but, you know, we're not that bad. We're not born again Christians. But here, Jesus says to Nicodemus, you have to be born again. No one can see the kingdom of God. There's no such thing as a not born again Christian. Either you're a born again Christian or you're not a Christian. And you see, actually, interesting, in some adverts recently, there's been a few uses of this kind of born again type thing. There was, the phrase "born again" was actually used in a BMW advert for the new, I think it was the new Series 5. And they were there saying that this car has been born again. It's regeneration. It was also amazingly used to sell some Levi jeans. And if you saw, they re-released 501s, and somebody was baptized wearing jeans. Now, explain that to me. Don't understand. But anyway, the born again thing, well, we like things that are born again because we like things that are old and yet are fresh and new. Isn't that what we like? That's what vintage is all about. That's why everybody is getting wooden furniture, painting it, and then sanding half the paint off. You notice everyone's been doing that? It's because we like something that's got a bit of history, but is refreshed and is brought up to date. And yet, when it comes to religion, born again is standoffish. And so you can find on the internet all sorts of kind of problem pages where someone's written in saying, my son's become, I've lost my son to the born again Christians. And then it comes back, I'm really sorry. I'm sorry to hear that. But there's no point arguing with them because he's been brainwashed. There's no escape. And that's the attitude, that born again is somehow that we're just going to wipe you clean. We don't want you. We're just going to change. We're going to manipulate you. And so born again has that kind of connotation, or it has the kind of Southern American, we like our guns and our Bibles sort of thing. We're born again Christians. But Jesus here says, I'm telling you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God without being born again. Or we'll look again in verse 5. I'm telling you the truth, replied Jesus. No one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Verse 7. Do not be surprised, because I tell you, you must all be born again. Do you see how it comes again and again and again? It's not some misreading. It's not one verse taken out of context. This person who knows his Bible, who is in the Jewish religion, comes to Jesus and says, I know that you are from God. He does exactly the thing. He says exactly the thing that Jesus seems to want everyone to say, is to recognize who he truly is. And Jesus says, you must be born again. And Nicodemus asks the obvious question, the question that even, I think, Zebedee would probably ask if I said you must be born again, which is, how can I get back in my mummy's tummy? That's not going to work, is it? Isn't that what he says? He says, how can a grown man be born again? I mean, very painful for the mother, sure, but that doesn't sound like that. How can he enter into his mother's womb and be born again? So he explains again, I'll tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. That is the outward sign, the water of baptism, and the Spirit. The Spirit of God at work. You see, there's a different sort of birth. You must be born again. So there's no such thing as a not born again Christian. If you are a Christian, if you believe in Jesus, and if you've received that transformation, you are a born-again Christian. Sorry, you have to admit it to your family. But you are a born-again Christian. And if you're there on the outside looking in thinking, you know, I quite like some of the rules, don't like some of them. Some a bit too harsh, some a bit too old-fashioned. But I quite like the idea of a moral code. Yes, I think religion is helpful. I think it encourages people. It keeps people on the straight and narrow. Yeah. You know, actually, I quite like Jesus. I look at him, and rather like Nicodemus, I think, there's something about this guy. There's something about this guy. There's something special about him. But you're still on the outside. Then what you need, says Jesus, is to be born again. You see, the phrase comes up time and time again with born again, but it also comes up in different ways. So down in verse 15, we have everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. And Jesus gives this illustration from the Old Testament. Now, back in the time of Moses, as the people of Israel were walking in the desert, having left Egypt on their way to the Promised Land, loads of them got bitten by snakes. And so loads of them were dying of poison. And Moses prayed to God, said, God, what can we do? And God says, well, make a model, a bronze model of a snake, and hold it up, and anyone who looks at it will be healed. It's amazing. It's just, all they've got to do is look. They haven't got to take this pill. They haven't got to suck the venom out. They haven't got to do anything. They've just got to look at this. Look at this model, this method of salvation that God creates. And they will be saved. They'll be healed. They'll be strengthened. They'll be made new. And you can imagine, imagine being, you're camping in the desert. And then suddenly, there's loads of snakes. And left, right, and centre, people are collapsing and dying. And then there's this snake held up, bronze snake. You're told, just look at it. Look at it, it'll be healed. Wouldn't you look at it? I mean, just in case it worked, you'd give it a go, wouldn't you? And he says, just like that, Jesus is going to be lifted up, and people will believe in him, look to him and believe in him, and they'll be saved. He said, that's the illustration of what's going to go on. But you see, he says something else. He says, you must be born again, but then he also gives us the alternative. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to read you a story by Max Lucado, which I think really helpfully illustrates this point. What happens if you're not born again? Is it that if you don't put your faith in Jesus, that God will be so cross with you for not believing in his son that he's going to come and get you? A long time ago, maybe not so long ago, there was a tribe in a dark, cold cavern. The cave dwellers would huddle together and cry against the chill. Loud and long they wailed. It was all they did. It was all they knew to do. The sounds in the cave were mournful, but the people didn't know it, for they'd never known joy. This was all they knew. The spirit in the cave was death, but the people didn't know it because they'd never known life. And you can picture them cowering together in the screams and the cries and the groans. But one day there's a different voice. They hear this different voice. It says, I have heard your cries, it announced. I have felt your chill and seen your darkness, and I've come to help. And the cave grew quiet. They have never heard this voice. Hope sounded strange, that is. This tone, this not wailing, but hope, but offer, but promise. And so they call out, how can we know that you've come to help? Trust me, he answered, I have what you need. And the cave people peer through the darkness at the figure of the stranger. And he was stacking something on the floor, stacking and stooping and stacking some more. What are you doing? One cried, nervous. The stranger didn't answer. What are you making? Cried somebody else, a bit louder. Still no response. Tell us, demanded the third. And the visitor stood and spoke. I have what you need. And he lit the pile at his feet. Flames erupted, it ignited, and there was a small fire. Light filled the cavern. And as you might imagine, the cave people turned away in fear. They'd put it out, they cried. It hurts us to see it. But he replied, light always hurts before it helps. Step closer. The pain will soon pass. Not I, declared a voice. Not I, agreed a second, turning away. Only a fool would risk exposing his eyes to such light. And the stranger stood next to the fire and said, would you prefer the darkness? Would you prefer the cold? Don't consult your fears. Take that step. And so as they cowered, one broke away from the group. And he came towards the fire and he put out his hands. I said, yeah, he's right. It's warmer here. And I can open my eyes now and I can see. Come closer. Come closer. And Jesus in John chapter 3 says that the choice is like that. Someone offers you light. And it might even be temporarily painful. It's certainly going to be inconvenient. It might be awkward. It might take some good getting used to. But someone is offering you light. And if you turn over onto page 120, you'll see that Jesus says the alternative to salvation is judgment. And this, verse 19, is how judgment works. The light has come into the world, but the people love the darkness rather than the light because their deeds are evil. And those who do evil things hate the light and will not come to the light because they do not want their evil deeds to be shown up. But those who do what is true come to the light. You see, the person who comes into the cave and builds the fire and shows them the light, well, is he responsible for those who don't want anything to do with it? You see, imagine that he builds the fire and he lays it down and that person steps towards it. It's warmer here. And maybe another couple of people come and they cry, it's lovely. And I can see. And I can see the fire and it's beautiful. And I can see you. I can see my friends who I've never seen. And you've still got this other group over here cowering, fear overpowering them. And then the fire builder says, well, actually, if you come, I can show you the way out of the cave. And I can show you something far better than fire. I can show you the sun. And I can show you daylight, and I can show you grass, and I can show you warmth that gets into the very core of your being. Follow me. And imagine those people who step forward say, okay, we'll come. And they come and they follow and they walk behind. And eventually, as their eyes adjust to this dazzling light, they find themselves in the open air. Now, is the fire builder responsible for those who've left, who've refused to follow? Those who've refused to come to the light, who won't even come near the fire, let alone the sun. You see, those people are in no worse a state than they were. It's not that Jesus comes and says, you're all fine, but now I've come, you're in trouble unless you believe in me. It's that Jesus comes to a dark world. He comes to a world of darkness, and he says, follow me. He says, follow me. And in himself we see something of the fire, we see something of the power and majesty of God. And some respond, some come, some follow. And yet others don't. Others say, you know what, I prefer the darkness that I know to the light that scares me. The darkness where actually there's no challenge or restriction, there's no question, to the light that exposes all. And it's in that context that we find our memory verse today, John 3:16. Moses, as Moses lifted up the bronze pole in the desert, in the same way the Son of Man must be lifted up so that everyone that believes in him may have eternal life. You've got an option. Follow me to life. For God so loved the world that he sent, that he gave his only Son so that everyone who believes in him may not die but have eternal life. God sent somebody to get us. Who can tell you about heaven apart from the one who came from there? And he came and he walked this earth and he told stories to explain the kingdom and he performed miracles to display the kingdom. And he invited us to follow him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son so that everyone who believes in him may not die but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to be its judge, but to be its Saviour. And today as we come and we break bread around the Lord's table, we remember that it cost our Saviour something to come and get us, to come and gather us. It cost him his very life. He had to give up everything for us so that he could say, follow me to life and light for all eternity. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you came for us, that you came and called us to follow, that you offer us such light and warmth and hope. So Lord, give us the courage to leave our dark caves and follow you. Give us the faith to trust your voice. And we pray, Lord, that we truly would be born again, that we might see and experience and know that light. And a whole new life forever. Amen.